Welcome back to Toys on Tap. This week is huge, not only because I love the artist, but also because this is Toys on Tap's 200th episode, covering all parts of the toy scene from designer toys, Sifubi, resin, sculptors, all parts of the toy community. I can't tell you how much I love this community, and thank you for all the support along the way. This week is all about Baba Drock, and he is the last person that I had to bring back on to close out how we used to do Toys on Tap on Vimeo so long ago. If you want more Toys on Tap, like, follow, rate, review wherever you get podcasts. It helps me, helps the podcast get to more ears, and it's free for you. If you want more, you can follow us on all socials at Toys on Tap. You can also head over to YouTube at Toys on Tap. And if you want even more, you can jump on the Nitty Gritty, patreon.com/toysontap. Now let's get to this week's episode of Toys on Tap.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Oh, that is us. What is going
whoa.
On?
Oh, whoa, what's going on? There we go.
Nice.
You know, keep the secret eyeballs off you.
Yeah. Hey, I'm so excited that you're on. You are actually my last one from when I first started Toys on Tap.
Yeah, we did this years ago, right?
Yeah, in 2021. We jumped on and did a Zoom, and like I was just in my room at the time, and we just kind of did a small, like, I don't even want to call it like an interview. It was kind of just like a hangout, right?
Yeah, it was a pretty long chat. It wasn't really an interview. We were just chatting toys and whatever, because I had just gotten started back then. I'd only been doing it, I don't know, less than a year,
six months. Which is crazy, because... Yeah. Now it's an interview. Now we're trying to get down into it and figure out who you are. So I'm pumped about that. So I'm excited.
Nice. Yeah. I'm set.
Because you kind of get to close the loop, and you kind of get to seal off an early portion of Toys on Tap lore.
Oh, excellent. Well, I'm honored, man.
Heck yeah. But before we do anything, just like every other episode, you got to introduce yourself. Tell us who you are, what you do.
What's up? I'm Drock, aka my real name's Derek. I'm from Oregon, up in the center of it, out in the middle of nowhere. I make lots of weird art, and I got a pretty cool little family. So, yeah.
Tell me about the name before we get deep, because I want, like, you go by Baba Drock.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's just the Instagram handle. From. Yeah. Baba. Okay, so Drock is just like the caveman version of Derek.
Okay.
Like way back, I used to sign everything D-Rock for stuff at work at this place because people started calling me that because it was Derek and they're like, oh, D-Rock. So, and it was in a kitchen. You have to make labels for everything. So I would just write D-Rock on stuff and they would know. And then the boss was like, it just says Drock. Like, you know, I like that better. And so people started calling me that. And I was like, cool. So I started signing all of my paintings as that. And then that was just my art name. That was my name when I was in a punk noise band. We all had different pseudonym, you know, stage names. And I was Drock. My artist name has been Drock for quite a while now. Yeah.
Yeah. Where's the Baba part come from?
Baba is just a really cool, like when we were going to have a kid, we only got the one. And I was like, should I have him call me dad? Or like, is that just a normal thing? Cause I'm a weirdo. I'm like, of course he probably will. But like, should we call? And I'm like, so I start looking up what people call their dad all over the world and stuff. And Baba's like sort of Middle Eastern. It's pretty common. And then, but also in India, Baba is the term for like a holy man, like a Siddhu who hides out in the mountains and dedicates himself to prayer and dedication. But then if you go over to like Russia, Baba is like, it's a current slur almost for the B word, for women over in Russia. But it's like old crazy wise woman. There's Baba Yaga, you know, old witches and stuff. It's like a witch. And so I'm like, it has this elderly, wise, super ambiguous term. And so when I became a dad, I just threw that on as, because Droc was already just D-Rock, D-R-O-C, yeah. was taken as a handle. So I'm just like, okay, I'm picking that because that's what we're going to have my kid call me. And he hasn't really stuck to it. My wife calls me that.
I love that. That is so cool. Cross-culturally, no, that like, they mean, it's one word means different things. And it like, it starts out with this, like, you're like this holy guy. And then it goes down to like, potentially means bitch. And that's pretty crazy.
Exactly. And so I'm like, dude, I love the broad spectrum of connotation, especially with Instagram and art being spread around the world. Where you're from is going to have a real big impact as to what you think of that name.
Yeah. Man, you're going to have some people from around the world that are like, this is not, this artist has a weird name.
Exactly.
I mean, we always need history. You're like a light in the scene and you have this cool perspective and you make cryptid toys and stuff, but you didn't start out that way. So take me back to that beginning. Tell me about the toys. Tell me about the cartoons you're filling yourself with.
Yeah. I mean, I've always been cartoons, like, yeah. ever since a kid, and I never really stopped watching cartoons as I quote unquote grew up, you know?
Yeah.
I've always still been watching cartoons. Cryptids too. I've always had a huge fascination. Like, my grandparents lived here when I was little, but my dad was in the Navy, so I kind of grew up mostly in Southern California, but then around all over. And but we always came back here, and we drive through the woods and stuff. And I was a huge fan of Harry and the Hendersons and Unsolved Mysteries and like weird stuff like that. And so I would just scan the woods as we drove for hours looking for Bigfoot. And so it's literally been in my brain since I was a child, yeah. a young child. But I started, I've been an artist. I was like an acrylic painter. I painted lots of paintings. And then I started doing some Bigfoot paintings because I'm like, you know, instead of just painting abstract, weirdo, pseudo surrealistic stuff, I'm going to like focus on something. And like, I love cryptids, monsters. And that blends into the pop culture that I like. I like stuff that has monsters and horror movies and mythology and stuff like that. So I started painting like that. And then I got contacted by a couple of people that make resin stuff focused on Bigfoot. Mm-hmm. And they're like, hey, would you paint paintings? Maybe in trade for a toy or for a figure? And I'm like, yes, yes, I absolutely would paint you a painting because I love Bigfoot and those are rad figures. Called Anasau, a company called Anasau, makes the epic Bigfoot and epic Yeti and stuff like that. Super cool. And Extra Truck Estriel, ETC Toys. And he contacted me about painting for a Space Squatch. And I'm like, oh yeah, dude, totally. And then I was following him and saw him making some molds. And I was like, wait a minute, you just got Legos and some silicone. Okay, let's do some other research. And I was like, oh wait, I can make this stuff. And like, painting's a hard gig. It's hard to sell paintings when you're trying to sell it for like $300 to $500+ yeah. dollars for a big painting. And I'm like, wait, I love toys. I love like drawing and graphic design. Always did the flyers for my bands, always did CD covers or artwork and stuff. So I love graphic design along with the painting. And I'm like, I could make crazy toys and do the artwork for it. Oh, snap. This is like a dream come true melding yeah. of all of these ideas. And so I started watching stuff and, on YouTube, you know, and, I can't remember the name of the dude right now. He's got a ton of videos, talks super slow, huge following, super fun guy.
Steady Crafting.
Yep. Watched a bunch of his stuff, and then I was talking to Tim and ex-truckestrial, and I'm like, dude, I gotta start doing this. So I bought some stuff and started making figures, and my first one was a pain in the butt, and I should have chose better because I didn't know what I was doing. It was the Spider Saiyan. Okay. So it was like Spider-Man body, big Super Saiyan hair, big poofy pants from Majin Buu. I hand sculpted the hair, made all these points. I did not consider when pouring resin, all of those points are going to want to trap bubbles.
Yeah.
And this was my first time, and I had no idea what I was doing. So it was a trial and error. I had to like fill half the molds and do some like wiggling and then get it to fill in and then close it up and fill it up. So the first one was definitely a challenge. Like a snap, dude. It's not cool.
Yeah.
but I love the figure, and the other people liked it. It came out great.
Yeah.
Meet Chum, the adorably deadly hammerhead shark creation from Pocket Salsa and Toys on Tap that has come from the depths to join your toy shelf.
Sharks! Take it out of the water! Sharks!
He can be found in the wild later this year in several different blank colors, and in some cases, rarer painted versions of Chum can be found. This chubby little guy comes in at 4 inches tall with one point of articulation.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
He is the perfect mix of cute and deadly.
I am never going back in the water.
Don't miss out on your chance to capture one of these little guys before they're gone.
Thank you. And then I decided, I'm like, I should sculpt my own. And I made the little Troar, which is also a weird thing. I'm big into like language and etymology and consonant shifting between languages and stuff like that. And so Troar is kind of like troll. And troll, I think a lot of mythology behind trolls is essentially the same mythology that leads up to stuff that we call Bigfoot or hairy wild man and stuff like that. Only it's European type stuff. And so Troar is just a slurring of troll. And but it also means believe in Norwegian, I think. And so I'm like, oh, that works perfect. That's that dude's name. Another one that's hard to say, not easy on the English tongue.
Before we get too far into your crazy toy making, which the Spider Saiyan is a gnarly toy to start out with. I remember seeing it come out, and I remember people buying it, and I had messed up so many molds and so much resin by this point. When I saw that come out, it was like, there's no way I would try something like that. Like I'm just damaging stuff constantly. So
it was pure not thinking about it and just doing it. And then I had to like poke a bunch of holes with little straws and stuff to compensate and do all sorts of trickery, but I figured a lot out. So
yeah,
still good.
What's crazy. I mean, the DeMarc's Toys, when he was on at one point, he had talked about how doesn't use a pressure pot, but just knows how air moves. And I feel like I know how air moves, but my sculpts wouldn't tell you that I know how air moves. But yeah, I don't know. It's wild.
It's tricky. And you never know, because resin bubbles and holds stuff in different places, and little micro bubbles turn into big ones when it starts heating up. And so, yeah, it's super tricky. I'm very thankful for my pressure pot.
Yeah, it is crazy.
It saves my butt. I pour really slow and make like molds I shouldn't with super tiny vents, and takes me to where it's almost curing, but I throw it in the pot and comes out fine.
So good. Before we brush past the painting, tell me about this art that you do. Tell me about the painting. Tell me about all that stuff. Did you go to school to paint? Like, is this something that you're self-taught? Did you just, what's going on with that?
I don't want to say totally self-taught, because I've watched countless videos. And
Bob Ross?
You know, of course, growing up. And, oh, man, there was name totally escapes me, but I'm like, my mom totally had me watching this other lady who painted. And then, what the hell was his name? Captain something. And he drew on, it was a kid's show. Probably 84, 85. And the dude had three markers in his pocket and he had kind of a janky space suit. Okay. And he taught you how to draw. And I loved it. And I like knew how to draw cubes and like, you know, a cone shape and how to shade spheres and stuff.
Yeah.
And so I knew how to do that since I was like 5 or 6. And I just loved to draw. Oh, huge into comic books too.
Yeah.
So like, the whole time collecting comic books and copying, you know, pictures of Spider-Man and how a lot of people learned how to draw, just like looking at their favorite comic book pictures and being like, can I just straight up copy that on a piece of paper? Just looking at it. Can I draw like that? And then it teaches you how to draw a lot of stuff, but then tons of art books. I love art books and I took every elective art class through high school and, but yeah, no, I never went any higher education. I never, not professionally trained, but you used to paint a lot.
I mean, just by what you did, you set yourself up to like for sure do art, which is awesome. I think that like your trajectory was set so clearly that you were going to do art, you were going to paint, you were going to do some form of art. And it's, you know, I've heard people talk about learning from Marvel Comics and stuff, which is awesome. I mean, you have,
absolutely. Yeah.
Like I remember reading them and looking back in the 90s, if that's when you're learning how to draw and do stuff, that is a crazy time to learn with Marvel Comics because all the feet are pointy, the muscles are crazy. Yeah. There's pockets everywhere on everyone's jackets.
Oh yeah, well, like in me and at the time, my dad was in the Navy, so we were on a Navy base, super small thing. So like, I had three friends, and me and my best friend both loved to draw comic books and listen to heavy metal. We're like 12. And so, yeah, it was right when Image Comics came out, Spawn and the Max and all those, and just this super, okay, it's next level, bigger muscles, more blood, more chains, more spikes and splatters. And I just loved it. It was amazing.
Yeah. And it didn't fit. It felt like everything went heavy metal, and then all of a sudden they were like, okay, maybe we don't need to do this anymore.
Heavy metal, also another huge, the heavy metal magazine.
Yeah.
Like Simon Beasley, who did Lobo eventually in actual comics, but like his covers and his painting style, because he does oil painting for a lot of that. And I'm just like, those are paintings. That's friggin' amazing. And then they have like Marvel Masters and stuff that came out that are more, most of those were traditionally trained painters.
And so you, I mean, you have this cool thing where you start merging everything, right? Your love of outdoors, your love of cryptids, your love of art and painting, and making it so that you're like, at some point, I'm assuming posting about your paintings and then getting contacted of like, hey, paint this for me. Or hey, like, can you do commissions and stuff? What was it like beginning, before we get deep into the toy, like to start selling paintings and to start selling that kind of art? What's that feeling like when you first started?
Oh, it was pretty hard. I was living in Eugene, which is a little bigger state. It's the second biggest one in Oregon, you know, super cool town, very artsy, very hippie. I really dug it. It was a great time. I met some, mostly through my like experimental noise band, I met a guy at a tattoo parlor, and because I heard he had an art gallery.
Okay.
And so me and my, and they were holding a noise fest down there. So me in like his little side room, it was this quote unquote art gallery. which was also, it used to be a garage, but it was walled off, and they would have small concerts in there, and they were having a noise fest. So my band was gonna go drop off a CD, and I'm like, oh dude, you also do art shows? Oh man, I got some paintings. I'd probably, because I hadn't done anything, I'd just been painting for my own. I want to do stuff bigger than, you know, a drawing booklet and smaller paintings. I'm like, dude, I want to start doing some bigger stuff. So I just had piles in the apartment and I had been meaning to start looking around. And so this Epic art space opened up and he's like, oh dude, yeah, this is great. And he ended up trading me a few paintings for tattoos and we became good friends and did shows together. And then, so I got some confidence and made bigger paintings and showed it a few other little places around there and sold some. But like I said, I'd sell like a handful every time, like one or two, maybe three, and make, you know, less than a grand or something, way less usually. it was just difficult selling paintings, and I still got a bunch. And but I'm like, I don't have the space to just be doing this, and it's hard. I love making that art. So now I've just scaled back from the larger scale stuff while I'm doing toys. And I'm like, I like to combine this and do paintings of toys or for ideas or for the card backs and stuff.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've busted out a full canvas and done stuff, but I've really been feeling the itch. So I'll probably do that soon.
My hope is that one day an artist, I mean, it would be so amazing to just see an artist do full canvas paintings of old card backs.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I would pay an amount of money that my wife would call irresponsible. One of the,
I've seen that. Yeah.
Well, there's I don't remember his name. I see it pop up and every time it does, I love it. He has taken parts of original card backs and put it on a thing and resined it and then dissected the figure that the card back is about. And so it lays it out and then resins it.
Oh, wow.
And that's pretty cool. But
yeah.
To have a painting of an original card back is something different.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
yeah, I haven't replicated one. You know, I've painted a couple of my card backs looking at a lot of old stuff for inspiration.
Empire Blister. Empire Blisters. Specializing in action figure blisters. 2.75 inch or 1/18 scale. 19 different styles. Two sizes of clamshell figure cases. Four different bulk pack options. Quantities of 100 sample packs available. Empire Blisters.
Now sponsors Toys on Tap.
That means a 10% off coupon on checkout. Use code Toys on Tap 10. That's COYSOMTAP 10.
Empire Blisters. Empire Blisters.
For the, you know, the feel or the vibe I'm going for the thing.
Yeah.
Look at a lot of the old ones and then I'm like, oh, okay, I'm going to put it together like this, but I've never tried to replicate a card.
Hey, yo. One of the things that I'm definitely interested in is like, what is it? I mean, you've talked about this, what it's like selling large scale paintings. And it's difficult sometimes, like it's just a lot going on. What do you like, how do you combat that? Because it is difficult. And just to have paintings laying around in the house, you're like, someone needs to pick these up. Like, what do you, like mentally or emotionally or like creatively, how do you combat that kind of stuff?
Oh man. I just think that like, I can't stop making art. I've been drawing compulsive. Like I feel like even if everything went to crap, I'd still be making art. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I just can't help it. So I just keep making and I'll give some stuff away. I'll sell a bunch of stuff. Yeah. I'm like, look at the hashtag paintings by Baba Drock, man. Half of those I might still have. Hit me up, dude. The shipping, that's the thing. Shipping on paintings is ridiculously expensive because of the size.
Do you ship in wooden boxes?
I've actually only shipped a couple of paintings, and it was for family, and they paid. And no, because they were on, they're in wooden, heavy wooden frames. Usually I'll do the thick wooden frames, not like, I'll usually try and get the gallery canvases, the inch thick frames. Some of the smaller ones I will. And those I might consider putting a heavy board or a box or something. But no, those ones I just put heavy boards on either, not like wooden boards, heavy cardboard on either side, and double packed them up and shipped them. They went across the country, came out fine. So
one of my biggest dreams and bucket list items is to have to ship something in a wood box. Because I know I can ship it at any point, right? Like, I know that I could, but I want it to be something that's art and it requires it, because then it's like, I made it. Yeah. I don't know why.
My wife makes pinatas. I don't know if you've ever seen
that. That's right.
But she made some pinatas. Like, we had to make, she made, and we all, like, I helped, and we all helped lots. I don't remember. A bunch, like more than a dozen, I think, birds for, I think it was America's Got Talent.
Okay.
For a performer. She got contacted by like a manager for one of the performers or something. And so she had to make all of these birds, just bird pinatas that like got exploded, or I don't even remember exactly what happened, because the lady didn't like them that much. And so they like panned out too far. You couldn't see the detail. They were awesome. You can see pictures of the birds on her page. But those ones we didn't even put in wood boxes because they were super light. They were just really packed, friggin', dude, they were like 4-foot by 4-foot boxes, and we put like 4 pinatas in each one and shipped this massive pile. Maybe it was a few more in each one, but whatever. Shipped like a bunch of these gigantic boxes.
Yeah.
It's crazy expensive too.
That's wild.
It was a super cool job.
So in making toys, I mean, you start, what year do you start? We see that you start because you get traded toys, and then you start making with the Spider Saiyan. What year is that?
Was that, I think it was 2020.
2020. So COVID's
right. Yeah, right before COVID actually shut down is when I bought the stuff and started. And then I was like, sweet, I'll have time to do lots of this.
Yeah. That's such a good way to look at it. I tell people regularly that if it breaks down again and we have to all go back in the house, the amount of content that Toys on Tap will start producing is unreal.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing. Life's busy. It's hard to find time to make as much as I want.
Yeah. So you start making, you do that stuff, and you actually find a community, because we all of a sudden see you and you're part of it. And what's it like? Because not only you're finding these people that want to trade you toys for paintings and stuff, but now you're realizing that a bunch of people are doing this. So tell me about the beginnings of your toy making.
Oh, yeah. Well, at that point, when I started, there wasn't a bunch, but there was more than I realized shortly after. You know what I mean? Like, I saw ETC, and I had talked to Slug Toys at the time.
Yeah.
Matthew, I don't remember what he's going by right now, but he's making the fingerboards right now. Super cool guy.
I wish I remembered what he's going by, too, because I want to talk to him about CoffeeBot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. CoffeeBot was super awesome. That's all this stuff was super awesome. But he was doing a few things with Chewbacca figures, you know, and artistically. And I'm like, oh, these are great. And so I bought one of those. And then we talked Bigfoot stuff and started work on a thing that didn't work out, whatever. So I just started discovering that there was more and more people. And it was super cool. And everybody that I was talking to was pretty open about everything and doing this different. Everybody had different takes on stuff, was doing it from different angles. And it felt like, you know, a I guess any sort of art community, but like a punk scene or something.
Yeah.
Who's like, this feels like a punk scene, only it's dudes in their garage or side room or basement or whatever making toys. Like, this is awesome. It was just really cool that Instagram at that time, everyone was also getting a lot of exposure by doing art. And I'm like, you look back at the early stuff, I was getting more hits back then than I do nowadays.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's just so crazy. But like I said, just keep making art. I'm just making art.
Yeah. It's interesting that, like, I don't know if you feel this or if you have felt this or see this. Doesn't it feel less? And this is probably because I run Toys on Tap. So like I do not only resin, but I now interview anyone, right, that makes toys, which could be Sofubi or soft or some kind of vinyl or designer toy.
Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. So what's interesting is because I do that, the punk rock nature of making toys has definitely drifted for me. Like, it feels like at the beginning, it was like, let's just mold and put together whatever I want.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And now it's very much like, no, we got to see what the market's doing. We kind of got to see what people are doing. We can't do copyright infringement. Now it feels like more professional, which is very weird.
No, it's all great. And I've been trying to expand and think on that myself too, but like, there's something super fun about just like doing minimal modification and coming up with a pun that's out there or punk rock or whatever and just doing it.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, that's clearly that thing, but you put some spikes or ears or whatever on it. Like,
yeah.
Nobody's doing that anymore, man. That's like the straight up 4/4 punk song that I want to hear. Like, give me another take on friggin' Boba Fett, man.
That's so true. And so as you continued making and you did stuff, tell me about the next couple toys. So we have the Spider Saiyan coming out, and it came out and you got it and people bought it and they were super into it. I remember seeing one on Crumbs Blunt's shelf for a very long time, or maybe Slug Toys. One of them, they just had it on their shelf, and it was like, every time every time I'd see a video, I'd see that toy and be like, oh my God, that toy is so cool. And so tell me about the next couple toys and really what it did for your skill set. 'Cause toys are not easy to make. I don't care what people say, like, to come up with a good idea and then figure out how to do it, it's not easy.
No. And again, I did the Spider Saiyan, and then I did Troar, and then I think my third one was the Bigfoot Soldier, which I still love, and I kind of want to redo because I love it, but I still have a handful of them that I need to get fresh pictures of and put up for sale again, because I do still have a handful of Bigfoot soldiers. Hit me up.
let's talk about the Bigfoot soldier. Tell me about the Bigfoot soldier.
So the Bigfoot soldier is obviously a take on the TMNT foot soldier.
Yeah.
Only I sculpted some feet and took some arms and hands from a Bigfoot rubber figure you'd get at a freaking hobby store or something.
Yeah.
And chopped off the heads, chopped off the arm, because I had a broken Bigfoot, I had a broken foot soldier figure in my box of toys. And I'm like, oh, this is perfect. This would be a great, like, I have all my old TMNT figures, but I didn't want to start chopping them up. But the foot soldier was broken already. His arms were all messed up and something else was broken. Like, sweet. Okay. I don't feel bad. You can buy ones of these guys pretty cheap on Amazon or not Amazon, on eBay for a used old foot soldier. But I don't feel bad chopping this guy up. And so, yeah, I chopped him up, took the arms off. And then I decided, I'm like, I'm going to do peg articulation. So I'm just going to hand sculpt pegs that are going to kind of flare out to fit in and hold in the arms. Again, I'm not thinking about any of it. I'm just like, let's do that.
Mm-hmm.
How hard this is going to be.
Tell me about that peg articulation. Cause that's, I mean, early on articulation is what messed me up.
Oh yeah.
And it was like, everyone was just like, just do magnets. And it was like, okay, we'll do magnets. But like, also, is that all there is? There's gotta be more.
Dude, I hadn't even discovered magnets yet. I hadn't seen that yet. I'd only seen a few people doing like static Boba Fetts and Chewbacca's. And I saw, I don't know, but I hadn't even discovered that yet. I bought a bunch of silicone. I'm just like making stuff. Go, go, go. Don't even look. I'm just making art and I'm loving this art form. So, they're okay. Actually, the arms still fit on tight. They rotate, but they're not as tight or perfect as I would have had them. But they're like a half inch long, quarter inch ish round, kind of flares out just a tiny bit by the end. And the arms were all, that was the real pain, was trying to Dremel out holes that would fit and hold tight on the pegs out of the rubber that was the material for this big, or like soft plastic, not rubber, you know?
Yeah.
That was the original material for this Bigfoot that I chopped the arms off, trying to like get a hole that fits that exactly. With the two different materials, I was building the arm pegs out of, you know, epoxy clay, I think, and just like sanding it down. So it was actually pretty successful, but they don't fit exactly super snug right at the shoulders. And, you know, if you wiggle them just wrong, the arms will still fall off. Not wiggle the figure, but like if you move the arm and wiggle it to the side, it'll still come off.
Like all the best toys.
Yeah. So I'm like, eh. And then I discovered magnets. And I'm like, oh, snap. That is so fun. Because if you keep them all oriented, I can just keep making more figures. And then I can play mix and match like that He-Man figure that I loved when I was a kid. Only that was all pegs. But
yeah.
I'm like, yeah. Or the G.I. Joes that I used to rip apart and just change all the heads and arms. Because everybody used to do that if you had G.I. Joes. Take the screw out and a little rubber band. Like, this is exactly that, only I can make my own and then switch their heads and arms.
Heck yeah.
And so I kind of went nuts on that, like just doing partial modifications. And like, I think the next, I might've done the Mermogen before I went 3.75.
I remember that toy too.
Yeah. That was like another Dragon Ball Z mashup just with a dolphin tail that not even the tail, like most of the dolphin mullet, chopped it down and then smoothed it off and custom sculpted him a little belt and all that stuff. And like, and that dude, he's cool. Like sculpted the wave splash that he comes up out of, and that's got a hole in it that fits a little arm bracket that is actually just a casted Allen wrench.
Yeah.
So that goes down into the wave splash and then up into a little hole in the back of him and straight up holds him up like he's coming up out of the thing. And he's a non-articulated one. That was just all one sculpture.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's very like the cool big anime sculpture toys, the fancy ones that are like a big piece that people just have on the shelf. That's what I had in my mind. Only I'm like a mermaid because mythology monsters and stuff.
Yeah,
I love it.
you kept going. Did you at some point switch over from?
We interrupted this broadcast of Toys on Tap to bring you this.
Meanwhile, in a galaxy of bootleg treasures.
DOV2, we have engine failure. We must crash land on DKE Toy Planet.
Oh my! We're doomed.
Wait. Salvation! Hooray! We're saved, DLP2! limited edition custom artist made action figures and DKE toys.
Check out www.dketoys.com for a full catalog.
Hooray for custom action figures.
DKE.
Like small runs to then doing like larger runs, or tell me about if you've been in shows, that kind of stuff, in that progression.
I went the opposite way.
Okay.
Yeah. I was like, I think the Spider Saiyan I made like 20 something of 21, 22 that I put
That's
up
wild.
For sale. And
That's
I made
wild.
A couple more. And then the Bigfoot Soldier, I made 30 some odd of them. And I still have, like I said, I still have, I think, 5 or 6 and then a few more in this bucket that I haven't even finished up. So, like, but those are the, like, ones with some bubbles in it because they were actually all cast with these tricky freaking hands and pegs and stuff before I got a pressure pot. I was like, yeah, let's do this again. Not thinking about how hard these hands that are in these grippy things that he's also got, a cudgel, a club. So of course he's got to hold this, and I'm like, dude, all of this venting, the molds for him were crazy, like super go way in this way around the legs, and then had a hole from the feet through the mold that I had to like cut into, so you got into it from the inside.
Yeah.
But again, I really loved that figure. It was a lot of painting. All the suits and stuff for 30 some odd figures. I'm like, this is crazy. And then I sold more than a dozen of them pretty quick. And then it sort of real tapered off, whatever. And then I'm like, this is too many. I'm going to scale back and do like 10 figures per run. That way, hopefully I'll sell out of most of them. And then sometimes, yeah, sometimes no. A lot of times, no, I still got a bunch of figures, but then I got the online shop set up. So I still sell random stuff that's just still up there, that's been up there for 2 years. And like, whatever, I got them in a big trunk right up
Heck
here.
Yeah.
and the big trunk down here and a thing over there. Yeah.
What's crazy is starting out, usually when we start out making toys, we're a little scared. And so we're like, okay, let's try it out with 1 or 2. You went in with 20, and then on your next toy, went in with 30. And I hate doing runs. I hate it so much. And I'll do it for designer cons sometimes, but it's like, it's so much work and painting and everything.
Dude, exactly. Having like all of them set up, you got to clear off the whole, because I'm in a 10 by 10 shed and I have all of my house tools, a lot of toys, and all my art and toy making stuff. So I got any project, I'm like, I got to clear off my whole workbench.
Yeah.
And then you got like 30 dudes all straight up, and you're trying to do the toy shelf thing of like, grab this one, paint this stuff,
put him back,
put it back, grab this next one, and try and not knock them down while anything's wet or hasn't cured for a day or whatever, you know, like. So, yeah, the big runs definitely aren't as fun unless you're selling a bunch. But
yeah,
I haven't sold a bunch in quite a while. So
it's crazy to think, too, like, COVID, I've talked about this with a few artists that like COVID was such an interesting time because people were like buying so much more. And I think the toy market has kind of like balanced back out, gone back to what it was pre-COVID. And then artists that were once selling a lot, like there were pieces that I sold that I should have never sold. They were just garbage. And looking back, and now it's like, that can't happen anymore. Cause if I do that, then people won't buy stuff from me.
Yeah, actually that's very true. I definitely try and think about that a lot more often, making sure everything's super clean. I'm not gonna send out stuff with bubbles on the surface or anything, or like I got a lot of little miscast ones that I end up doing other stuff. Those ones make for great art pieces or special. I love doing Halloween and Christmas pieces and stuff, so like take those ones and paint them and glue some moss on and do some crazy stuff with or whatever, and make because that was the other thing. I'm like, oh, the art figure side of it, you can do these as like little miniatures or a dedication art piece to themselves.
Yeah.
Like I took one of the Spider Saiyans that, because they got not only all the spikes pointing straight up, I made one that kind of went out to the front and down the other direction just for fun. So I had spikes pointing in freaking both directions. Yeah. So like one of them that spike didn't come out at all. I'm like, oh dude, I'm going to re-sculpt that. I'm going to sand off the little crappy part and re-sculpt it as a forehead spike and did a Misfits dedicated Spider Saiyan and painted him up all black and white with the freaking, the fiend, the crimson ghost on his back. And I'm like, dude, I love that spiders, the Misfits spider. I don't even remember what the frick I called it, but that sold right away. And I'm like, oh, these are great. Take the messed up ones and like treat them like their own little art piece unto themselves. Now I have all these blank canvas, or not blank, but a starter canvas.
Yeah. That's so crazy. So tell me about your art, your toy career now and your painting now. I know that during COVID we are like producing like mad people and doing all kinds of stuff because we have more time. I mean, art's not your full-time gig. So tell me tell me what it's like now, what you're painting now, the toys you're making, that kind of stuff.
Man, I'm honestly doing the same stuff I've been doing for a long time. I cook for a living and I make enough to pay the bills and I sell art enough to support making art. And that's about it. Yeah. But, so yeah, I still sell figures. It's, like I said, it's slowed down, but it's still enough to keep the balance right on the line of where I'm paying enough to keep making art.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I cook in the daytime and then I make art when I get the chance and come out in the evenings.
Heck yeah. Tell me what's coming up for you. Do you have any art shows that you're part of? Any toys that you're working on right now?
I'm not sure. I haven't actually signed up for any art shows. There's a couple that I'm like, I probably should. I should do something because my schedule is pretty open.
Yeah.
But I'm also, because I've only sold like a figure or two out of my last two drops, I'm just like, damn, I'm going to focus on some of these ideas that I've had rolling around in the back of my head that aren't exactly just a little artist made figure, you know, a little action figure type thing. I'm like, I got a few other things rolling around, so I'm kind of thinking about focusing on that. But I do have another project that I'm doing a small run for that's going to be I drew the art and made the card back, and it's going to be a 3.75 figure for a company. That's going to be a limited run, probably sold out of there. Probably it's Cafe Picori.
Awesome.
He does lots of art stuff with toy makers, and that dude's got a rad art toy collection in the main roastery in Eugene, all classic toys. And he's got a coffee bot in there. He's got stuff I made. His mascot his two-headed monster thing that was the Nike NGK, whatever. I don't remember. Two-headed monster dude that looked like a muscle figure, kind of.
Okay.
And so he sort of took that dude and had somebody else sculpt it. So it says Corey, and he's the little logo. He's like mascot for the place.
Heck yeah.
And me and my wife, mostly contracted through my wife, but I helped a lot. Made a giant 4-foot two-headed monster that now lives in the shop of the Picori folks.
That's incredible.
It's awesome. It was one of our biggest sculptures. He's huge. The pictures of him are great. You can see him on my profile, her profile, Cafe Picori.
Yeah.
The Picori folks, giant teal two-headed monster. So yeah, I'm making a toy very soon. I've got quite a few of them casted.
Heck yeah.
I mean, and it's a mashup, traditional nostalgia mashup figure. So I'm doing that here real soon.
Awesome.
But Yeah, just doing some personal art for a minute and hanging out, trying to clean up the shop, focus on stuff. I am going to do a run of some Christmas stuff. I've got a few set aside here.
Yeah.
Just for a little Christmas drop of art toys, like I said, with the miscast ones and stuff. I'm like, oh, heck cool. Yeah. Nice little project set up. So expect that here soon.
Yeah, we are expecting it. And then with, I mean, the drops that you're doing and the stuff, and you have a love of cryptids, you've got to have, there's got to be more coming cryptid based from you, right? We got plans to do more of those.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, the last two, I did the Battle Squatch.
Okay.
And little Battle Beast style.
Yeah.
Little Bigfoot dude that I sculpted his hands and re-sculpted parts of everything. And I think I only sold one of those guys, but man, they're super cool. I cast them in clear with some fake moss stuff inside. And then I left the Battle Beast square open and left a square open on the back. So instead of having like a, you press it and the thing reveals which elemental Battle Beast they are, they're all the woods or whatever, but you just hold it up to the light and you can see like mossy greenness.
Yeah.
Inside this fully painted little mini Battle Beast.
God dang it. That's so good.
Yeah, dude, I sold one of them and I was like, damn, but whatever. Keep moving. And yeah. Next one I made, I did the surfing Squatch bones. Cause I got this figure at a thrift shop somewhere and I'm like, oh dude, that looks like an ape skeleton. I think it was from some video game, only it's very cartoonified. So I'm like, I'm just going to need to re-sculpt a skull. And then I can just like do some other modifications, had to add a toe and do this and that and little stuff. Cause it only had four to, but and I'm like, I'll just make it a Bigfoot skeleton in a Hawaiian shirt and shorts. Shit. Okay. He needs a surfboard. So I had to totally make the surfboard from scratch. Surfboard's made out of just thin cardboard and varnish, layers and layers and layers. And then I sanded it and did, it's got DTN in like drippy slime on the bottom. And that's all super fine paintbrush, magnifying glasses over and over and over until it's embossed like a 16th of an inch and then cast in the platinum silicone and it looks so freaking good.
Dang, dude, you're crushing it.
And I don't know. I mean, I think I got them at $43, but dude, it's a 4.5 inch figure, full peg articulation, waist, arms, neck, all like finished. It's much cleaner than my old peg art. They're like long pegs that are fatter at the end, but like and the surfboards are freaking dope. But yeah, I didn't sell any of them.
Okay,
so that's all right. They might go on sale here soon. I really love them though. I actually have a super cool one. Two of them that are like cast not in the glow in the dark bones. They're like sparkle, different colors. And I just haven't finished them up yet.
Heck yeah.
But yeah, I love that figure. I'm actually working on a card back. I'm like, I'll just sell or make a cardboard piece. Cause they're too big for any bubbles that I have or anything.
Yeah.
But I have some shrink wrap and I'm like, I'll just take this heavy card stock and glue the art on it. And then put it in shrink wrap right onto the card.
Yeah.
I haven't done that yet.
When you look over the next year or so, because we're coming in close, you are actually my 200th episode of Toys on Tap. Yeah, we're in celebration nation right now. What's crazy is I didn't even shout or anything. I felt excited.
That's awesome, dude. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Nice.
When you look over 2025, right? Cause we're coming up to that. Where do you want your toy art or your art career to head?
That's really tough. I would like to be doing more stuff that is less quote unquote bootleggy or whatever, that I could go to more conventions at, because a lot of stuff that I'm like, I want to kind of travel around and do more of the conventions and stuff. But I'm like, if it's not original enough, you can't really sell that stuff there. So yeah. Like, I need to, that's why a lot of my more recent stuff is a little bit more, I wouldn't mind telling people that's my original work and selling it somewhere. Yeah. Whereas like back in the day when it's just like, I don't know, whatever. I guess even the Wolverine that I did for last Christmas is pretty straight bootleggy, but that was for a show that got canceled. And so that was kind of lame.
What show?
It was going to be, oh man, I don't remember who was setting it up, but it was what superhero power or what superpower you wish you had.
Oh,
there was a bunch of people signed up for it. And so I did this whole run of a thing, and then, nobody told me. Apparently it got canceled a few weeks before it happened, and nobody emailed me, and I made a whole bunch of these. I was already making the figure anyway, but I made a whole freaking bunch of them. And so I released the Wolverine just like as is, only it didn't say the name of the show on the figure. I had to change the header card.
Yeah.
But yeah, so even that one, I'm like, nah, I couldn't go to a comic convention and sell that, because I feel like somebody would call me out or something. So I would like to be making more stuff that I could travel around and be selling and doing more of those. I would love to hit a few more conventions. I've so far really only done a Bigfoot show here in town. That was like the Bigfoot and Brews. It's a pretty big Oregon West Coast thing that happens. And then a few of the Grass Hut art markets up in Portland this year and last year, which is super fun. And so I would love to be doing more events. But so, yeah, just taking it easy. I'm working. Lots of family stuff's keeping life busy. And work keeps you busy all the time. But yeah, I've got some ideas for not your traditional action figure style figure. That's a different type of novelty items that I haven't actually worked out yet. I mean, I've worked them out. I just haven't actually sculpted or made anything for yet. So I'll probably take some time working on those. I've got an actual like game that the family developed, kind of my son came up with. Well, he came up with it inspired by some YouTuber dudes or something, and then we modified this whole thing and made a whole system out of this game. And so I want to do all the artwork for that, and but that's more like a card game. And so I'm like, sweet.
Yeah.
So I'm looking to diversify.
Okay. Heck yeah. I can't wait to see what 2025 brings for you, because that means you're coming up on 5 years of making.
I got real caught up in the like, dang, making these cool modified 3.75 inch figures that I can mix and match. And I just kept busting them out and like got distracted. And I was selling quite a few of them, you know, enough to keep everything going. So I just got distracted by being like, oh, this is so fun to make action figures. And I'm like, okay, focus more on this as from your artist perspective. And so I kind of wrapped up the last couple projects I had on my bench. And I'm like, I've got some other notes down and I've got some more stuff lined up to come out, you know, like Christmas drops and cleaning up and restocking a few of the old classics that I have here that aren't in the shop right now. Maybe some Tanuki walks or some other stuff. Oh man, yeah, I do have a plan for another in the line of Star Cryptids. I did the Mopping Wari. It's like, so the Star Cryptids are like taking your traditional SW figure and turning it into a cryptid. And so I've done the Mopping Wari. I've done the Tanuki Walk and the Drop Bear. And that's it. No, the Chupacabra. And so I got four of those. And those are all great because I'm finding different artists that I like on Instagram or that I'm friends with or that aren't necessarily in the toy community and being like, hey, how about for in trade for some toy? Because I'm broke. I'm barely making enough on selling anything to pay for silicone and art and shipping and stuff. And so I'm like, do you like toys? Would you like to have some art that you made be a toy? Or I have an idea for a thing. Do you like toys, monsters? Would you like to make some art and trade for a couple of your art as a toy, plus a bunch of other stuff you can talk to me about? And so it's just, I've got different artists to do the card backs for those. And then I'll produce and make the card backs and everything. But so all of those ones, the art is from somebody that's not me, even though I love visual art and painting and like whatever, but I love even more the community aspect of it. And so I found different people kind of outside of the community to dip in and see what this is all about. And that this is a thing, and to show people in this community, these artists.
That's awesome. That's
so I got so one cool. more of those. I got one more of those that I actually have started on.
Okay.
But I haven't found an artist and I haven't finished the figure, but I do have another Star Cryptid that I'm looking for an artist.
Awesome.
So that is going to come out probably in 2025.
Heck yeah, dude. I'm so happy that you came back on the podcast as my 200th and to like kind of close the loop on where we were when we first started. The last part is really just plugging away what people can get, how they get in contact with you, your shop, all that stuff. And so please, please, please plug away.
Oh, beautiful. So yeah, DrakToyAndNovelty.com, all one word, all spelled out, DRAWK, Toy and Novelty. And I got lots of stuff in the shop. Go hit it up. I am Baba_Drock, DROC, Baba_DROC on Instagram, and lots of art, lots of, if you look at the paintings by Baba Drock, dude, I haven't painted stuff recently, so to see a painting, you might have to scan back a little bit, but lots of those are up, lots of toys for sale. That's about it. Whatever.
Heck yeah, dude.
I don't need too much.
Dude, thank you so much for coming back on Toys on Tap.
Dude, thank you. I'm super honored to be back.